Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. A lesson comes from the 73rd Psalm, and it is a lesson that is intended to encourage us and to keep life in its proper perspective, to help us to see things as God sees them and enable us to live life more as God would have us to live it. And certainly these goals are worthy. As you know, God's Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto my path, Psalm 119, verse 105. Life is often fraught with challenges and pitfalls that yawn before us. There are those times and circumstances when understanding is lacking and we wander in confusion, we're bewildered, and we're frustrated. Skepticism and doubt have often brought fear and uncertainty into the lives of even some of the strongest people. The inconsistencies, the inequities, the injustices that we observe and the experiences in life make us wonder why such things are allowed. And when we see good suppressed and evil adored, we are prone to ask, why try to be good? Does it pay? Is following God the best way after all? Is it worthwhile? Now, we do not think it blasphemy to admit that these questions and problems have overtaken many who once loved the Lord and sought to please Him. But we do not think it improper to consider them, since they can also beset us. The psalmist wrestled with these things in the 73rd Psalm. He expresses some of the perplexities and uncertainties created by doubt. He asks some of these same questions that bother people today. And he responds to the inquiry, why serve God? He draws a conclusion from his inquiry by determining that we are at our best and far better in every way when we trust God. And verse 1 affirms a great truth. Truly God is good. He's good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. Now of this he is very certain. No doubt exists in his mind that God is good to those who have a clean heart. Please observe this qualification of being a recipient, however, of God's blessings, namely a clean heart. Our hearts can be clean, but only when cleansed by the Lord. He cleans our hearts when we come to Him by and through Jesus Christ, as revealed in His Word. 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. What led the psalmist to be so confident of this truth? By what line of thought, what revelation, what reasoning did he come to be so sure of this position? Verse 2 shows he did not always have the same confidence. He said, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. He admits there had been a time when he was not so dogmatic and positive and sure, not so sure as to assert what he did there in verse 1. He realizes there was a time when he knew his faith was slipping, and the foundation upon which he stood did not seem to be so strong and unmovable. In verses 3 through 14 of the 73rd Psalm, there is no question but the psalmist was once skeptical of his choice in life to serve God. There were various things that had caused him to develop this skepticism. And what had created his doubt and uncertainty within him? Well, let us not be too self-righteous nor too hasty in judgment of the psalmist, for these feelings sometimes have welled up within us. He had allowed himself to become envious of the wicked. In his attempts to be righteous, he had developed some self-pity. He felt cheated and left out of what some call the good things of life, even though they were not good. As he looked around him, he could see the wicked prospering. They were strong to the point that even the reality of death did not seem to concern them. They did not appear to have troubles like many others. They were enjoying life to the fullest, even though they were proud and violent and corrupt and wicked, lofty in their speech. They spoke against heaven. They questioned the wisdom and the knowledge of God. They were guilty of blasphemy. And yet, at the same time, their cup was full. and God's people seemed to fall before them. The wicked took from the righteous. Evil men relished the fatness of their gain, having all that their hearts could desire, and were apparently at ease, living in luxury and riches and gaiety. He saw all of this, and he was tinged with envy. And on the other hand, here he was trying to do what was right. He was aware of his own sinfulness. He was seeking the Lord's mercy and the Lord's way, but apparently being chastened and plagued rather than rewarded. All he did seemed to be in vain. What profit was there in doing what was right? What was the use of serving God? Those who did not serve him seemed to get along better, at least as well as he thought at that time. So wrestling with such things, his faith waned, his confidence sagged. He was not so sure that the way of righteousness was the best way. But this apparent inequity and injustice had an explanation. His doubts could be answered. Verse 15, "If I say, I will speak this, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children." In other words, he realized that such thinking was offensive and detrimental not only to himself but to all others. Verse 16 and 17, he said, "When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their end." His pain and his grief was intense over these things until he went to God with it. His dilemma seemed so huge and overwhelming until he brought it to God and got God's answer. When he learned God's viewpoint of the problem, then he understood, and his doubt was soon dissolved, and his certainty reaffirmed. Not until he got the overall look at matters did he grasp it. Focusing only on the present presented him with a distorted perception. Not until he raised his outlook and remembered that his existence consisted of more than just the here and now, did he see things as God saw them. And what did he learn from God that helped him? Verses 18 through 20. "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation, as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one waketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakenest, thou shalt despise their enemies." What was the end of the wicked? The end of the wicked is destruction. The place where they stood was not stable and secure as it seemed, but it was slippery, and they shall fall. Desolation is their ultimate destiny, and they shall terminate in terror. As in a moment, they shall reap the harvest of their iniquity because they have made themselves subject to be despised by the righteous God. Their apparent prosperity on earth did not assure them the prosperity in the next life. And like the rich fool of Luke chapter 16, "Son, remember that in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, but now thou art in torment." So the so-called good life, a life in sin, here in this life, it did not bring them approval before God, but rather his wrath toward them. Now once the psalmist saw the end of the wicked, he was both grieved and he was shamed. Verse 21 and 22 says, "Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee." It was not now so difficult for him to see how mistaken he had been in his evaluation of things, how completely wrong he had considered matters. His understanding, utterly void of the real truth regarding the righteous and the wicked, why, he was confused. He was bewildered. He was in uncertainty. But he was grieved because of the destiny of the wicked. None can rejoice in knowing what will become of the wicked. But he was also ashamed because he had been so foolish as to become envious of such people and to have allowed his confidence in God to be shaken by such things, by the temporal and the material and the worldly prosperity of others in this world, to bring this skepticism into his heart. He was ashamed to have ever doubted that the Lord's way is best. And so, turning from his doubt, he began a more profitable exercise, a faith-building exercise, by counting his blessings that were his because of his faith in God. Verse 23 through 26, Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. With God, he had no fear. He knew God cared for him. He was sustained by the hand of the Almighty. He was guided by his counsel. He had the hope and the promise of being received into glory. How could the things of this world ever compensate for such blessings? Contrasting the end of the wicked with the end of the righteous, the reward of this world seemed so paltry, and the toil of the road seemed to nothing. Indeed, such a small price to pay for the reward that God gives. As the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans 8 and verse 18, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. He, not the wicked, had the real blessings. He had God, not only in heaven, but even here in this life. And though his flesh fail, though he be weak, though he seem to have so little by worldly standards, God was his strength and his portion, a prosperity that could never vanish away. And therefore he concludes, For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Now he has made the full circle, from certainty to doubt, and back to certainty again. Now he knows better than ever the truth that God is good to them of a clean heart. Now he knows what really matters and what really counts in this life. No longer will he be deceived about the affairs of this world or shaken by what seems to be the success of those in the wrong. His faith is strong and he is certain in his trust in the Lord God. Friend, cannot we also be encouraged to serve God through the fair consideration of this psalm? Can we not more clearly see what should be the emphasis and the priorities of our life? Will we not be better able to see through the facade of worldly success as it seeks to blind us from seeing spiritual success? In a world of instability and uncertainty and doubt, recognizing what is certain can be a source of strength to one and all. So we plead for all of us to live in security with confidence, holding firm and steadfast to faith in God. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.